This day, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today, we have a very short reading from the Gospel of St. Mark, which at first glance looks like it's a bit of narrative that doesn't have a lot to offer us. We are told that Jesus leaves the synagogue, which he has been teaching at, and goes to the house of Peter's mother-in-law and finds her sick, so he quickly heals her. We are then told that by the evening, many people of the town are coming to the house, and that Jesus casts out many demons and heals them as well. Finally, we are told the next morning, Jesus wakes up and he goes to a deserted place to pray. The disciples come looking for Jesus and tell him that everyone in the city wants him to do more healings. But Jesus tells the disciples that they must move on and go to other towns and do the work of the gospel there. So Jesus goes throughout Galilee to proclaim the message in their synagogues and to cast out demons. And the reading ends just as quickly as it begins, with seemingly not much to offer us. Although this seems like it is just a bit of short narrative, as the reader we must step back and ask ourselves the question, what is going on here and what does it tell us about Jesus? The first thing that we notice in the text is that it is the very first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. We are right at the very beginning of the Gospel. This is still the opening scene. Everything is still to come. First, in this opening scene, Jesus leaves the synagogue in which he has been teaching. This text tells us simply that Jesus is a teacher. A major part of Jesus' ministry and the rest of the Gospel will include going to various synagogues and places to teach the people about the coming of the kingdom of heaven on earth. In the second part of our text, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, so much so that she regains her strength and is able to go about her daily life. This narrative alerts us to the fact that Jesus is a healer and a restorer. As we read on in Mark's gospel, we will see that Jesus is the one who heals and restores. This will also be a major part of his earthly ministry. He will not only heal, he will change lives. He will restore people to a more fulsome state. Many sick people and people who have demons then come to Jesus, and he heals them too and casts out their demons. All of this is taking place on the Sabbath, the day of rest where the law prohibits any work from being done. But Jesus, in this case and in various other cases throughout the gospel, heals, teaches, and casts out demons on the Sabbath. Here, Jesus is telling us two more things about himself. One, ministry and caring for one's fellow human beings takes precedence over the Sabbath. And two, a much more profound statement about himself. Jesus is alerting us to the fact that he is not bound by the Sabbath laws, for he is the one who put the Sabbath into being. He is God himself. Ultimately, we are alerted to the fact that Jesus' love and grace overrules the regulations of the Sabbath. And as we will read later on in Mark's gospel, Jesus claims to be the Lord over the Sabbath. It is important to note at this juncture what we mean by healing and what is happening in the Bible when we are told that Jesus heals people. We read many stories in the Bible about Jesus physically healing people, and we hear many stories in our own world today where many people get sick and they pray and they are miraculously healed. But we also know that there are many, many people who get sick and pray and they do not get better. This often leaves us asking the question, what does it mean that Jesus is a healer? I believe that I can best answer this question with a short story about what it really means to be healed by Jesus. At the church I grew up in back in London, Ontario, there is a priest who came there a few years ago, a young man who has cerebral palsy, and he has been in a wheelchair for a number of years. He has countless stories of being out in the mall or at the movies or anywhere else in public, really, where people of a certain Christian persuasion will come up to him and ask them if they can pray for him so that he may be healed. Of course, what they mean by this is that he would be able to get up out of his wheelchair and walk again. He says to them, often taking them by great surprise and stunning them, that he does not need their prayers of healing, because Jesus has already healed him. What he means by this is that through prayer and spending time with Jesus, he has been healed. Through prayer, he has come to know that regardless of his physical state, he is just as beloved by God as anybody else. He is healed. His heart has been healed. He has a sense of peace and wholeness of life, regardless of his physical state. And for many, many, many people throughout our world, this is what the healing of Jesus looks like. In fact, this is how Jesus heals all of us, regardless of our physical state. When we say that Jesus is a healer, we must always be mindful of this. Jesus heals our hearts first. He heals all of our hearts. Now, moving on to the last part of our text. Jesus gets up very early in the morning, and he goes to a deserted place to pray, we are told. Prayer and spending time with God the Father will be an important part of Jesus' ministry in the rest of Mark's gospel. We cannot underestimate the role that prayer plays in Jesus' ministry and life, and that it should play in our ministry today as well. Jesus often goes to deserted places to pray, and time again, the disciples come to look for him and say, "What are you doing?" Jesus does this because he recognizes that a relationship with the Father is paramount. He does it because he knows that ultimately any earthly ministry he does is leading to one place, and that is to the cross. Everything that he does on earth is heading towards the cross, and he knows that the tempter is always there to try and lead him astray. Jesus and his disciples, of course, then move on to the rest of the towns and villages and proclaim the message there, for that is what he came to do, Jesus says. When we really think about it, the short section of text actually has a lot to offer us about Jesus, about who he is and what he came to do in this world. This short section of text is a preview or a foreshadowing for us about what Jesus is going to do in his earthly ministry and what we read about in the rest of the gospel. Jesus is going to teach, he is going to heal, he is going to cast out demons, and he is going to pray. And he is going to take his message on the road to every town and village that will accept him. This is his mission here on earth. This is God's mission here on earth. In this short section of narrative text, we have been told what Jesus' life is all about and what must take place before his death. On the whole, this text is about the incarnation itself. God took on flesh and came into this world to be with his people. In Jesus, God is near us. God has come to earth in Jesus, and now we can see him, we can hear him, and we can even touch God, which restores all people to wholeness and makes them new. And this is what Jesus' earthly ministry from birth to death is all about. This is what the incarnation is all about. Not only is this text a preview or foreshadowing of what Jesus' ministry will be about, it is a preview or foreshadowing of what we as the church are called to do in this world, as we be the hands and feet of Jesus. We as the church, as followers of Jesus, are called to teach others about his kingdom. We are called to heal this world and to cast out demons. And believe me, there are a lot of hurting people in this world who desperately need the healing and restoration and sense of wholeness that comes from Jesus. And we as the church are called to pray. We are called to spend time with Jesus and God, figuring out what he would like us to do in this world and how he would like us to go about it. And of course, like Jesus, we as the church are called to proclaim. We are called to go on a mission throughout the world and to offer the love of Christ to all whom we encounter. Today, we as the church, as followers of Jesus, have been given a preview of what our ministry on earth should be and what our job together is. Our job here at the Church of the Ascension is to fulfill this mission together. So my brothers and sisters, let us continue the good work that has gone on at this place for many years, teaching, healing, praying, and proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come near. Amen.